Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 52, Mini Mix. I'm your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is absolutely nobody, because this is E3 week and our schedules are all screwed up, and so I am flying solo today. But that's okay. We're going to have a short episode this week. In fact, we're just going to be focusing on the reveal of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild that was unveiled by Nintendo, finally, earlier today as I record this. Finally putting out a trailer showing a whole bunch of gameplay on video via Treehouse Live. So I just wanted to give my impressions of that while the game was still fresh on everybody's mind. And I guess the main takeaway I have from what I've seen so far is that Breath of the Wild looks absolutely amazing. It really, to me, looks like it returns the series to its roots. It seems to have a fantastic sense of exploration and discovery, and just going back to that sense of wonder that made the Legend of Zelda series so popular to begin with. Lots of people have pointed out online that the beautiful vista that you see at the beginning of the game is like the kinds of things you would see in the box art of the original Zelda, or especially the original Japanese Zelda. And it's really, really true. It just brings all that stuff into life and fully playable 3D, modern technology. The world seems vast, and it looks beautiful, and there just looks like there's so much to explore and run around and discover. And while it does manage to take the series back to its roots, I think, it also seems to be doing a really good job at challenging the series conventions. There are just tons of environmental interactions that they've shown so far, and lots of survival elements. And then they're changing up a bunch of other conventions as well, such as there is now a jump button. That's right, a jump button. We haven't seen a jump button in a Zelda game since Zelda 2, although I guess you could jump in some of the handheld Zelda games if you got the right item. But anyway, I'm getting off course here. What is important is that, you know, now you can jump, and now you can chop down trees using an axe, and then you can use this tree for a bridge, or you can use it as a tool against your enemies. You can also roll boulders down hills, and they'll crush the bad guys. Or you can set grass on fire, and the wind might, you know, push this flaming grass into an enemy encampment and might just roast all the enemies alive, and that's the end of them. So there's all kinds of interesting and creative new ways to fight and explore and battle. Speaking of, fighting and defeating enemies, that's really crucial because so far they haven't shown really any permanent weapons that you can acquire. You seem to get most of your weapons from defeating bad guys. I guess you can find them lying around as well, but these weapons break, and so you're always in need of new ones. There are swords and spears and axes and clubs and bows and sticks and shields as well. All this stuff lying around for you to find and to put to creative use. And then on top of that, you're hunting animals for food because there are no longer hearts just lying around in the grass. I guess that was always kind of a weird convention and kind of gross if you think about hearts lying around in the grass. But none of that anymore. This is modern Zelda rethinking those conventions. So now you can hunt animals for food. If you're a vegetarian, you can just grab apples or other fruits that are lying around and use those instead. You can then cook this stuff up. You can use them in combination. And once you do that, once it's cooked, it restores more health than it would do just on its own if it were raw. And again, all the stuff, lots of interactivity, lots of cool stuff going on here. I really like the way that this is going. It's also very mysterious, too. At the beginning of the game, apparently, or at least the beginning of this demo, you see Link waking up in some shrine wearing nothing but his little boxer shorts, and he's in this place called the Shrine of Resurrection. Now, is this a Link we have known before from a previous game, or is this a brand new Link, maybe some sort of artificial intelligence or something who's been brought to life? We don't really know. They aren't really saying. They're not really talking about the story yet. But you start out with basically no clothes, no explanation, just this voice saying, open your eyes. And so you get up, you leave the shrine, you find some clothes along the way, and there's an old guy out there who unfortunately does not say it's dangerous to go alone, take this, but he does offer a little bit of advice. Interesting to note, though, this old guy does not talk out loud. There's this mysterious voice that's saying things, but this old guy doesn't talk, and we don't really know how much of the game is voiced. I know some people have been talking to Nintendo representatives on the show floor, talking to Anuma, and yes, there will definitely be more voices than just this mysterious voice in your head, who I'm guessing is probably Princess Zelda trying to guide you on. We don't know for sure, though, but there's going to be more voices than that. But how much of it will be voice? Will it be everybody except Link? We don't really know. Also on the negative side, we've found out that there is not going to be a female Link. I feel like that's a missed opportunity and kind of weird that every generation a new hero is born. And we've had, I don't know how many different Links, probably a dozen of them, and none of them are female. But okay, no female Link this time. And also, something I might consider a negative is that there's a stamina gauge. That was not one of the features I liked in Skyward Sword, but it is back in this one. I feel like for climbing, it makes sense. And there is a lot of climbing in this game, and really lots of cool stuff to explore in the overworld. So it makes sense to have it in that capacity. But for running around this huge environment, I'm not a big fan. But, you know, I'll take a wait-and-see approach on that. I mean, other games have done similar things, and they've let you, you know, run as much as you want, but maybe not climb. So I wish they would find a better balance there. When you're running around such a big place, it seems like you shouldn't be so restricted. But presumably there will be ways to boost your maximum stamina as well as your maximum health. There weren't any signs of heart containers or pieces of heart in the demos that I saw, but I would suspect there will be in the final game. I suspect there are also going to be some permanent weapons. There are permanent items that you gain that take the form of runes, which are sort of these magical techno items that you get and, you know, can keep them permanently. Bombs, for example, in this game are runes. There's two types of bombs. There's also a rune item called Magnesis, which lets you move metal objects. There's one called Stasis, which is for immobilizing things, such as moving platforms. And then there's one called Cryonis, which is for creating ice platforms in water. And like I said, these runes are permanent. They stay in your inventory. You don't lose them. They do have a recharge time, but you know, it seems like a good way to change things up and still have, you know, your regular type of Zelda items out there, but not necessarily in the same way that we're used to. We were also introduced to the Sheikah Slate, which is that mysterious-looking book-like thing that's on Link's belt you might have seen in some of the earlier artwork. And the Sheikah Slate, it functions as a key in certain areas of the game, as well as binoculars. You can use it to scout ahead and see the environments around you. You can tag points of interest, and you can even see enemy HP. And when I say that out loud and think about it, that really reminds me a lot of what was in Metal Gear Solid 5 and the way the binoculars worked in that game. And combined with, you know, the open world, the really vast degrees of freedom that you can use to explore, and the stealth elements. Yeah, there are stealth elements in this game, and there's even a stealth gauge, a little purple meter in the lower right corner of the screen that shows how noisy you're being. You know, you add all those up, and this really makes it feel like someone was playing a lot of Metal Gear Solid 5 when they were developing this game, or some Metal Gear game. I've sort of come to start calling it Zelda Gear Solid. I love Metal Gear Solid, I love Zelda, so I suppose combining those two together is not a bad thing. Other elements that caught my eye were the varied environments. They showed a very dry, deserty environment. Kind of, they're comparing it to the monuments of Utah. There are these snowy environments as well, where you have to make sure that Link is properly equipped, or he starts losing health because he is too cold. That reminds me that there are, you know, just a ton of different kinds of outfits to put him in. You can have him running around in the boxer shorts. You can have, you know, sort of a typical tunic. You can put him into, you know, fancy armor. You can put him into warm clothes to, better prepare him for some of the harsher environments. But yeah, there's just a lot more stuff that you'll be able to equip him with. Then on top of that, I really like the fact that the raft was back. That was something I, you know, really enjoyed from the old games and thought, oh, that would be nice if they had in this one. And indeed, it is back. You can get on a raft and use that to aid in your exploration. There's also Legolas-style shield surfing, and you'll even be able to shoot enemies with your bow and arrow while you're doing that. Lots of shrines. Apparently there are 100+ mini-shrines, and that makes up a big part of the game. That's what you're doing, is going around these different shrines, Some of them give you access to these new runes, and some of them just give you spirit orbs, which you need to progress through the game. And that's on top of the traditional dungeons, which they haven't shown yet, but apparently there will just be traditional full-size regular dungeons, just like in Classic Zelda. Plus, there's weather effects, a day-night cycle, and also very exciting to know is that Ganon does indeed appear to be the bad guy. That is very exciting to me. Plus, of course, there is functionality involving Amiibo.
Amiibo!
For one thing, you can indeed use the Wolf Link Amiibo, which we kind of knew about before, but it turns out that by scanning the Wolf Link Amiibo into Breath of the Wild, you can summon in Wolf Link as a pet, and you can use it to help fight enemies and to help scout ahead. And I guess that's another reason why I'm calling it Zelda Gear Solid, because of the wolf in Metal Gear Solid 5. Then on top of that, there are three brand new Breath of the Wild amiibo. There is a Link as an archer, a Link on horseback, and then a guardian. That's the weird sort of, you know, spider-like, semi-technological, futuristic bad guy that was in that earlier trailer and earlier images. And apparently they play a very big part in this game, but the amiibo for the Guardian is huge, and even has movable arms, which of course is a first for amiibo that's going to have some manner of articulation. So that's really cool. All in all, I thought that The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is looking awesome from what they have shown so far. I cannot wait to play it myself. Everything I've seen just makes me more and more interested as I'm watching them play the game on video. It's like, oh, you gotta check out that, you gotta go there. And I really just want to jump in and try it myself and see what else is there. And the game's release cannot come soon enough as far as I'm concerned. I am really, really, really looking forward to it. And I hope I can go hands-on with it in the very, very near future. There's lots of other stuff to talk about from this week and from E3, but we're going to save that for next week's episode. Hopefully we'll have lots of hands-on impressions. But we're going to call it quits as far as this week goes. But before I leave you, there is still time for a dramatic reading. This time from the back of the box of the NES game, Werewolf the Last Warrior. He's bad, rad, and extremely mad, because to a werewolf, there is nothing like revenge. The world's been destroyed by Dr. Farian, a twisted madman possessed by an ancient spirit. Farian's henchmen rule, but one buff warrior has been granted magical powers of the wolf and is now out to bust up Farian. And when a werewolf finds him, the fur and fangs will fly. Crazy, huh? Almost as wild as the new Zelda, wouldn't you say? Anyway, that does it for this week. Thanks for joining us for this mini episode. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com for any reason. Of course, if you like the podcast, it would be greatly appreciated if you'd give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For me, myself, and that mysterious voice from Breath of the Wild,
open your eyes.
We will see you next time.